Welcome to the Family Story Podcast, where we talk about family relationships, important family events, and most of all, family stories that can be passed on for generations to come. I'm your host, Rick Jensen, and I'm glad you joined us today. So sit back, listen, learn, and love as we talk about your family in this episode of the Family Story Podcast. Welcome to the Family Story Podcast. Today in our studio, we have Jared Jensen, who just recently returned from the Chicago, Illinois mission. Welcome, Jared. We're so excited to have you today.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
Now, we've had you on our podcast before where you were actually on your mission, and you went through and talked about some things that you were involved in during that time and how you were working with other missionaries during that time. And so now that you're home, I wanted to take a different angle to this podcast and just do a review of some of the things that really stuck out to you. You've been home for about a week now, is that correct?
Yes.
So let's just start out our podcast today by talking about you coming home. How's that been for you? Has it been difficult?
Not really. Getting home was pretty hard at first. It was kind of like being in this weird limbo state. I felt disconnected from all those friends who I made. And so that was kind of a hard adjustment, but it was good to see my family again. And now just getting to know people and making friends, it's coming along. So I think just the busier I get, the easier it'll get to be as happy as I can possibly be.
That's a great attitude. And we are definitely happy to have you home. Let's talk about your mission for a minute. As you think back and ponder about what you've been through for the last 21 months, what kind of things stick out to you the most?
Yeah, for sure. I was able to have a lot of awesome, awesome spiritual experiences. So most of my most incredible experiences and miracles happened when I was serving on the south side of Chicago in just our favorite little miracle building, which was 22 stories tall and probably had over 1,000 people living in it. And one of the people we taught was named Darlene. And one of the most incredible, miraculous experiences was just being able to teach her and being able to watch the light of Christ in her eyes just glow every time that she learned a new doctrine that she had never heard before. And we were able to teach Darlene so many points of restored truth that she had never heard in her life. And that was just such a beautiful thing to see. One of the things we were able to teach her about was specifically the power of the priesthood. First off, that the authority that had been restored to the earth and that we actually held the authority to be able to give people blessings of healing. And she had just had an experience where she had been feeling sick and hadn't been feeling very good. And so my companion and I gave her a blessing of healing. And Darlene was a frail older woman who really couldn't walk very well. And she actually had to have a crutch to walk. And I remember after that blessing, she was able to walk without the crutch for the first time in 5 years. And I remember that was such a super cool thing to see for us. It helped us know that the spirit really is real and that the priesthood really does work. And throughout Darlene's conversion experience, she had several more experiences like that where she had been able to do things that she had never been able to do. And it was just a testimony to me that the spirit of the Lord was involved and that God's hand was involved in her conversion experience. And I think that was one of my favorite experiences was just being able to teach somebody like her who was so ready and so accepting of the restored truths that the gospel contains.
And this is the same Darlene who we interviewed recently on the Family Story Podcast.
Yes.
I would encourage all of the listeners to go and listen to her story because her conversion story is wonderful and it's great to hear her testimony in her own words. Thank you for sharing that. So tell us, how has having experiences like this on your mission impacted you?
It really just helps me know what a blessing the restored gospel is and really how sometimes we as members of the church take it for granted. And it helps me know that I need to make it a priority in my life. Because when we taught some people and we saw the joy that they felt from learning these new truths and the understanding and the satisfaction that came from the gospel, it really helped me realize that, wow, I've had this my entire life and I haven't even realized that. Like, I didn't even realize that I have this very special, unique thing, this treasure that is so important to me. And I need to make it a priority. And before my mission, I didn't really make it a priority. It was there. I knew I was a member of the church, but just like anybody's a member of their church, you know, I went every Sunday and I enjoyed it. But now I want it to become a part of me. I want it to be in my life every day. I want to be guided by the Spirit every single day. And I want to do everything that I can to allow the Spirit to remain present in my life.
Thank you for sharing that. It sounds like it's really had a big impact on you. In Chicago, you had the opportunity to go in and visit a lot of families, and you just recently mentioned family. Is there anything that you saw that you would like to bring into your family? Is there anything that you saw that you particularly want to avoid? What did you see about families, and how do you think that will impact you?
I definitely learned about a lot of things that I want to avoid in my family in the future. I was able to teach a lot of families where they didn't make the gospel a priority, and you could feel a different spirit there. It wasn't as strong, and it was really contentious, and contention drives away the spirit. And you can feel that when you walk into their home. It feels uncomfortable. It doesn't feel super great. And so to me, I know I don't want to really allow contention in my home as much as possible. And something I really want to keep in my family is just, like I was saying, the importance of being able to have the Spirit present, and also the importance of keeping the commandments and living the gospel. There was one family in particular that it was a member family that I was able to visit in one of my first areas in Indiana. And this family, I remember, they were so stellar. They were awesome. All the kids were just incredible. And they just really honestly reminded me of my own family. And it's because they were doing the things that the prophet advised them to do, like come follow me. And they were doing family home evening, and they were doing daily scripture study. And their family was so close. It was so strong. They loved each other. They loved having the missionaries over. And I just remember, it really reminded me a lot of my own family. And I know that that's really, my own family is one of the best examples of what I want in my future one day.
Well, that's great to hear. Thank you very much for sharing that. Tell me about some of the things that you most enjoyed about being in Chicago and serving in Chicago.
I enjoyed riding a bike in the city.
Whoa, I'm interested. Tell me about that.
Honestly, that was one of my favorite things, is being in a bike area and just riding down these crazy streets ridden with potholes, and you get flats and you have to fix them like every 5 seconds. And we had one day where we got like literally like 20 flats. And I just remember all these appointments had to cancel. And I just remember we were just laughing about it. We were like, man, this is so much fun. Like, what else could go wrong today? And it was raining, and then it would snow, and we'd still be on our bikes, and it was wet, and everything would get wet and soaked and muddy and just gross. And I just remember thinking, man, this is so fun. Like, we just had such a good time on our bikes. Like, why on earth would I ever be riding a bike in one of the most dangerous parts of Chicago in a snowstorm, in a blizzard? And we just loved it. And we'd just get back that night and exhausted and just thank the Lord for another day and just so excited to go out again. It was just, every day was just an adventure, and it was just so much fun. So I really liked riding a bike.
That's great. Thanks for sharing that. There are those who've mentioned, and you yourself just mentioned, that Chicago can be a dangerous area. Is there anything that happened to you while you were on your mission that you would consider dangerous?
Honestly, the most dangerous part was probably riding our bikes. One time I like ran into a bus, and I've ran into a few cars, and I've biffed it a few times. And so like that was probably the most dangerous part. Like, yes, it is a dangerous area, and yes, there were like shootings around us occasionally, and you know, scary things happening. But honestly, I was never scared of any of that. But I was honestly the most scared when I was riding my bike across 63rd Street and Western Avenue, and there's cars honking and get out of the way. You know, that was what was scary. But it was also the adrenaline rush, and it was really fun.
Oh, that's great. What would you say would be the hardest part of your mission? Explain that.
I think the hardest part of my mission was, there was one area that I served in. I feel like really before I got to most of my most favorite areas. And well, there was two hard parts. They were both in this one zone. I remember I was not having this zone at all. And when I went there the first time, it was the area was so hard. It was just a lot of people from the Middle East who were Islamic and Hindu, and they wanted nothing to do with Jesus Christ. And then the Christians were all extremely rich. And so it was just like, man, where are we going to find the good people who are prepared to receive the gospel? And it felt like they were nowhere. And we tried everything. We tried the Hindus and the Islamic people, and we tried the super rich Christians, and that seemed like all the area had. But I remember my companion at the time was just a blast. And I remember that's what really made the difference for me, is my companion was my best friend. And we laughed and we had good times. And although the work wasn't super successful, we had incredible times together. And then the other hard time was I had gotten transferred from the south side to the north side, and I loved the north side. It was awesome. It was an area that I'd always wanted to go serve in. In fact, it was the area I started my mission, but it was just a different ward. And I was so happy to be there. And so I was there for a transfer, and I just remember thinking, man, I want to finish off my mission here. And then I got transferred back to that very same zone that was like the refiner's fire for me. But this time it was to be the assistant to the president, because that area was close to the president's house. And I remember it was kind of exciting because it was a cool new leadership position, but at the same time I was leaving one of my favorite areas. I was leaving a bike and I was going back to an area where you drive a lot. And I remember that first week in that area, there was one day where we were driving just like hours, and I just let out this cry, and I was like, I only have this much time left in my mission, and I'm going to spend part of it just driving all day. And I remember I was so frustrated because I missed that. I missed that push of biking, and I just missed getting out there and going and going and going. And it, you know, I eventually got over it, and I eventually ended up liking it there because another hard thing happened. We had COVID-19 hit, and all of a sudden that area, which we drove so much, became a great blessing because we weren't stuck to our apartments like the other missionaries were. We were actually able to help a little bit and to do things for other missionaries. And so that ended up being a blessing. And I ended up being really grateful that I was serving there because I was able to stay busy at that time.
Wow. Thanks for sharing that with us. You know, you had a lot of changes happen while you were on your mission. You mentioned COVID. That was one of the changes. You also had another change where missionaries could call home and missionaries would use Facebook to contact and find people. I'm just curious, how did those rule changes impact the mission and the missionaries?
I honestly felt no impact at all. I felt it was the exact same. It wasn't really a big deal. For the older missionaries, like, I think I'd been out about 8 months when that change was made. And at first I was like, cool, like video call. But then I decided, you know what? I just want to do the video call like I used to, because it's really not that exciting anymore when you just do it once a week. So I'd do like phone calls because it made things easy. But I remember I wanted to save those video calls for those special occasions like Christmas and Mother's Day. But for the young missionaries, that was just like something they were used to. And I remember that was kind of weird, as all the young missionaries were just always like on their phones on preparation day. But I think like when I was a young missionary, I was always on my phone on preparation day too, just using different resources. So I really think it's the same thing. It didn't really make a huge difference in my opinion for that.
What about like contacting people through Facebook? Let's talk about the change that COVID brought to all missionaries throughout the world. How did that impact you on your mission?
So we had taught video call lessons before. There was a few people we taught where, especially young single adults, and I'd been in a young single adult ward twice. And honestly, there's sometimes where they're all the way across the city and it takes 2 hours to get there wherever you want to meet. And it's just like, let's just do a video call. So I'd done that before. But here's a problem in missionary work is you're supposed to stay busy all day, every day. You don't stop. You always go, you know, and whenever we have a fallen appointment or we just have an open block in the day, it's that we say, okay, we're going to either go on the streets and just talk to people. We're going to go knock on people's doors. We're just going to be finding people to teach. And all of a sudden that was taken from us. And for all missionaries everywhere, I think that was the hardest thing. Teaching was okay. But finding was a challenge. How are we supposed to find if we can't go talk to people outside? And especially for me, that's where, honestly, that was my favorite part of the work. That's where I found the most happiness and the most joy, was just in going outside and talking to people everywhere. I loved it. Like, It was like a game. It was a blast. And so when that was taken from me, that was really hard because I felt like I had developed those skills that I had just worked and worked and worked at for this entire time. And all of a sudden I wasn't able to use those anymore. And it was humbling because now all of a sudden, even good finders are restricted to our phones, just like everybody else. Everybody's equal now. And I think that was a lesson that the Lord wanted to teach us. Even as missionaries, we should never think we're better than each other. And even if we are more talented at talking to people, or even if we have a certain leadership position or whatever, we're all on the same team. And so I think that it was actually a good lesson to learn. But we kind of just came up with a sort of thing we called like Facebook tracting. And I think I messaged like 3,000 people. Honestly, it was crazy. I messaged so many stinking people because I was like, this is all we got. And we found people because we were willing to show the Lord that we were willing to put in some effort. And like President Nelson said in last conference, he said, the Lord loves effort. And I remember that promise was huge for me because I knew that if we put in our effort, even if all we had was Facebook, the Lord would give us rewards. And we did see rewards for that. We did still see miracles. We did find people to teach. And it was an interesting learning experience.
That's great. I appreciate you sharing that with us. A lot of our listeners wonder how missionaries are doing that Facebook tracking now and seeing success. I would think that would be really hard to be stuck in your apartment and having Facebook as your only means of connection. Did missionaries ever feel down? And what would you do if you ever felt down or you were having a difficult time? How did you deal with that?
If I ever felt down, I just remember the cure was to literally forget myself and go to work. Just like President Hinckley said, that was the cure. I don't know why, but it worked every single time. And I just remember if I was like extremely excited to go work, you know, overly excited just to go out and work on a day where I was like, man, you know, I gotta stay focused. I gotta stay excited. I remember that changed everything. That changed my day. That made me happier. And that was the cure, was just to put myself aside and think about others. And I just remember, it's just one of those things you really have to figure out on your own, because they come out with these resources like Adjusting to Missionary Life. I don't know if you've heard of that, but it's a resource basically to help missionaries deal with stress and anxiety. And I personally never read it because I thought, well, honestly, I know my cure. It's to forget myself and go to work. And it's different for everybody. Some missionaries, they did like to use that a lot. But I know that that was the thing that the Lord wanted to teach me. That's the thing. That's the cure I needed for any hard times or any down days or any stress or anxiety.
That's really great advice. Did you have any down days? Because I think you're a pretty positive person.
Yeah, of course. We all do. Several times I remember me and my companion, this was near the beginning of my mission in Indiana. We had planned this guy's entire baptism, and it was Saturday. And I remember we checked our phone that morning, and he texted us in the middle of the night and basically said, I am not getting baptized. And we had planned the baptism. We had invited everybody. We had come up with the program. And I just remember thinking, you've got to be kidding me. Like, not only is it devastating because he is not making the most important covenant he could ever make, but it's like embarrassing for us and for the ward, because, you know, we told all the ward members that this was going to happen, and now all of a sudden he's dropping out. And I just remember thinking, like, this isn't about you. This is about him. This is about where he's at. Where is he at? Who cares about what the ward thinks of you? This is about him. And I remember that was really hard for me. That was a really tough day. But, you know, everything passes and we move on. We keep moving forward. And eventually there was somebody who did follow through. And you know, even though he never ended up making that covenant, we were able to figure things out with him, and he's being taught by the missionaries again. And so, yeah, that was really hard though. And there were other times where the days were just hard. But you just push through them because you know that there's going to be rejoicing on the next day if you look for it. Or even in that day, if you look for it. And so that's what we try to do. We just try to look for it.
Wow. What a great answer. Thank you. Let's talk about when you received your mission call. When you received your mission call, you were called to Chicago and you were very excited about that because you didn't want to go foreign. You wanted to stay in the States. There are some people who say that you are called to where you're supposed to be. Did you ever figure out the reason why you were called to the Chicago, Illinois mission?
Yeah, I loved Chicago. Holy smokes, that place is the place. I think I just met so many people there who I really grew to love. I feel like it was just like everything. The missionaries there, they were just, you know, people who were meant to be my friends. My mission presidents. I feel like the Lord definitely, his hand was definitely in that. And I don't know if it was anything about the city itself. I think I was supposed to go to a big city. I don't think I was supposed to go to Kansas or anything. I think that I was supposed to be in a big city. But yeah, I do think the Lord put me there for a reason.
Does anything specifically come to mind about what that reason was?
Yeah, I think I've learned a lot about ministering to the one. That's something that the Lord Jesus Christ did, and that was like something I really studied right before I came home. And I do think that on my mission, I had many opportunities to minister to the one. And it was different every single time. But I knew that was happening every single time. And that's something I didn't understand until the end of my mission. I thought, you know, wherever you go, it's going to be okay. But no, everything happens for a reason. The Lord puts us in places for a reason. And so I remember there were some times where the one was my companion. And I had companions tell me after, hey, man, we were supposed to be together at that time. And you helped me a lot. Or a specific person like Darlene. You know, we still stay in touch. And she thanks God and stays in touch with me that it was me who got to teach her. And I'm really grateful that I was able to meet her. And there were some areas where it was for another person in the zone, or sometimes it was even for me. I was the one who was being ministered to. And I just know that each area I went to and each person I was able to bless and each person that was able to bless me happened for a reason.
Thank you very much. I've got a question for you regarding missionary work and revelation. How do you know that the Lord was speaking to you? Is there anything that you can teach us about what you learned regarding revelation while you were serving a mission?
Yes. I realized in my personal studies, I was just writing down a ton of notes on like every verse. I was picking out principles and I was taking those principles and applying it to my life. And that is when I realized, oh, wow, the Lord is speaking to me. We're always looking for some glorious vision, but really the scriptures are the visions that have already happened. That's when the Lord has already spoken. That's basically a letter from an infinite all-knowing being. And so if we want to hear the infinite all-knowing being, we're not just going to, you know, go on Google search and say, when is the infinite all-knowing being going to come? When is he going to speak to me? But we're going to study as much as we can about him. We're going to try to learn everything we can. And the scriptures contain almost all the answers that we need. And it doesn't contain all the answers. There's still questions that we have, but it's so cool to see, you know, to have a question about the gospel. And then you have a great teacher who says, hey, turn to the scripture. I know I've had that happen with my father, with my mission president, and found that most of the answers from God and most of the revelation that we receive really just comes from reading the scriptures. So that's when I noticed that the Lord was speaking to me. And that's something that I've only been home for a week, but that's something that I've really been treasuring, is that time to receive revelation and to just really write down my thoughts that I learned from the scriptures.
That's great to recognize. That's really good. Thank you so much. Each missionary has an opportunity to share their testimony a number of times while they're on their mission. Would you be willing to share your testimony with us today?
Yes, absolutely. I have a testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ and of his atoning sacrifice. I know that that is the most important part of God's plan. That is the part that allows us to become more like him. And I know that it's through his grace that we are saved and that we are changed. And I have I've learned how to apply that in my mission and in my life. And I've learned how the Lord speaks to us as his children. I've learned how he speaks to me. And I want to seek after his voice in my life. And I've learned that one of the ways he speaks to us is simply by giving us his commandments. And I've learned that if we want to follow the Lord's advice, if we want to follow the advice of an all-knowing being, we better keep his commandments. And if we keep his commandments, he'll be willing to give us a little more of his advice each and every day. And that's what he teaches in the scriptures. Here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. That's how he works. And I know that when we are willing to accept what he gives us, he'll give us more of it. And I know that the prophet Joseph Smith restored, or was the tool to restore, the true church of Jesus Christ on the earth today. And that church is the tool for us to receive our saving ordinances and to return to our Heavenly Father and to become a better person than we ever were before. And I know that the gospel is also the tool to bring families together forever. And I know that because I've read the Book of Mormon, and I know that it is another testament of Jesus Christ. I know that it is the Word of God. One cannot read that book and deny it. And if they do, then they're reading it with the wrong intents. They're reading it trying to prove it's wrong, and they're missing the goodness that the book is filled with. And I know that to be true because I have read it with real intent, and I have received that answer through the Holy Ghost, and I have seen the fruits. The Lord makes things possible for everyone. And I thought at one time in my life that the Lord just didn't speak to me. But I know that he speaks to everyone. I know that he has spoken to me. And I just needed to be spiritually aware and spiritually ready to receive his answer. And I needed to be ready to act on the answer he gave. And I remember having that knowledge has changed my life. And I know that that's something that I want to keep with me forever. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for sharing that testimony with us. Well, Jared, we really appreciate you joining with us today on the Family Story Podcast. I think this interview has been very beneficial. There's going to be some people, members of your family or friends or even your future family, who might be listening to this interview. What message would you like to leave with them?
I'll say my favorite motto I learned from my mission. There was a lot of people who we taught on the south side of Chicago. And I remember that place was so interesting, but the people were also pretty happy people. You walk up to them and say, "Hey, how's it going, brother?" And they say, "I'm all right, man. How y'all doing?" You know, they'd be real, real happy. There's one guy we taught named Kenny. And every time, "Morning, Kenny, how's it going?" He'd say, "Well, gentlemen, I am too blessed to be stressed every day." And I remember that just killed me. I was like, that is the coolest thing. I wrote it on my wall, "Too blessed to be stressed." And I literally just want to take that with me for the rest of my life. Because when there's ever a hard time, there is never a better time to count your blessings. That is what I would share with my future family and whoever is listening to this, is that no matter how stressed you might be, just remember that you're blessed first. And remember who woke you up to see another day. And that'll make you a lot happier for sure.
Wonderful and inspiring message. Thank you. We want to thank you for joining us today on Family Story Podcast in our studio. And for our listeners, Jared Jensen actually has another podcast that we did with him while he was on his mission. I would encourage you to listen to that on familystorypodcast.com, as well as, I mentioned before, Darlene's story is also found on familystorypodcast.com under the Family Stories menu option. I would encourage you to listen to both of those because they are very inspiring. We're glad you joined us on this episode of the Family Story Podcast, and we hope you join us again. Have a wonderful day. Thank you for joining us today on the Family Story Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode. The Family Story Podcast is a production of Harmony Audio Recordings. This podcast is strictly prohibited for use without permission. For more information about Family Story Podcast, or to create your own Family Story Podcast, contact us at familystorypodcast.com. We hope you join us again soon and encourage you to go create a family memory today.